to do this, if I'm honest. No one's going to listen anyway. Hello, friends. Welcome to a distinctly unhappy Monday on the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast. It's happened again, friends. I said at the end of last show that we were living in a sporting fairy tale. Turns out we're actually living in a dystopian Groundhog Day nightmare. We're condemned to the same fate over and over again against an old foe, and the hero doesn't win. The hero is vanquished. And unfortunately, that's what happened at Carrow Road on Saturday, as I'm sure you're all aware. Mark Heath, Alex Jones, Roscoe, currently trying to summon the energy to talk about this with any kind of enthusiasm. Ross has christened, having set the show up, it's called KOA Pod Post Shit Show, is what he's called it. And I think that reflects the mood quite well. Watson has had to take a week off. He's so distraught. It's something about half term. I think he gave the reason as, but I know the real truth. Shall we meet our friends then? I'm going to start with Ross, because again, this continues the theme, Ross, that we've suffered through for some time. How are you on this distinctly mediocre Monday?
I've moved on, mate, pretty much. There's no point recording this podcast. I've moved on. But no, it was a very disappointing day in Norfolk. You know, it started very nicely, you know, nice sunny day. Walked up to Carrow Road and thought today could be the day. Of course it wasn't.
We should know better by now. Yeah
we should, yeah. Yeah, let's get into it, boys.
I've just had my daily news conference with various people from around the business. Which includes people based in Norfolk. And one of the guys had brought a Norwich shirt to the conference, and he just held the Norwich badge up to the camera the whole time. So now I'm going to lodge a complaint with HR and see if I can get him sacked. AJ, talk to me. How are you feeling after that thoroughly deflating day?
Yeah, distinctly mediocre. I know that sometimes, as you've touched on, going overboard on negative phrases can be a negative within itself. However, I feel like distinctly mediocre, probably a lighter way to put it, based on Saturday's game. Yeah, one of those where a lot of the times you sleep on a game, you know, it's a poor result, drop points, you have a little breather, have a break, have the weekend coming on the Monday, and you've got that kind of renewed sense of optimism and, oh, you know what, it wasn't that bad. Hasn't really come in too much today, I don't think. And I know a lot of Town fans who probably felt pretty bad after the result. And I would imagine, I was thinking on the day, actually, you know what, they'll all wake up on Monday and they'll kind of get back to it. And you know what, on reflection, I think that was probably wrong.
Okay, right. The way this is going to go today, friends, clearly there's going to be a little bit of pain as we talk about this game. So let's rip the plaster off, and then hopefully we'll finish on a more optimistic note. Because, of course, take the emotion and the pain away from losing to Norwich again. Town are actually still in the same situation as they were before the weekend, because Leeds lost. So with five games left, Town actually have their future in their hands. If they win their next five games, they're in the Premier League, baby, which is good news, isn't it? But, of course, we have to talk about the derby first. Let's start, shall we, by hearing from Kieran McKenna, and then we can start to break this horror showdown. On you go, Kieran.
Yeah, I didn't think it was our best performance by any means. We didn't hit the level that we would have hoped to. In a game that I didn't think was a very high level, to be honest. I didn't think it was a high level game. I think it was anywhere near the level of the game that we played early in the season, or the game on Monday, or so many of the games we've played this year. And yeah, we wanted to perform better and create more chances, but we didn't manage to do that today. And then the game's tight. I thought really it was just a spell of 10 minutes in the first half of set plays and decisions that went against us, and you know, that culminates with them scoring a free kick from 30 yards that decides the game. So you know, in tight games where neither team, I don't feel, are hitting the level that they've hit in recent weeks or in recent months, then it's often decided on tight margins, and that can often be a set play goal, and that was the case today.
Okay, right. Full disclosure, before we get to talking about this game, I was in deepest, darkest Essex as this game was happening, commentating on cage fights. I had to leave my house by, what time was it, about 1 o'clock. So I watched the first half hour on the telly and then listened to it on the radio, Radio Suffolk. And then once you get into Essex on the A13, I was heading out to Bas Vegas, Basildon, and Radio Suffolk fades out. So I then had to frantically try and find it. I found it on TalkSport and then obviously listened to the denouement at the end of the game. And I'm afraid I was one of those guys shouting the F word quite a lot in the car driving along. Alongside all those shiny white Land Rovers you get in that part of Essex. Although I've gone back clearly and watched the highlights, I haven't gone back and watched the whole game because I can't be bothered and I don't want to watch it. So there we go. Alex, you were obviously there. Do you want to start with your opening thoughts on this? We said it was deflating. Clearly it was. But start to break it down for us.
Do I have to? This was a very peculiar game where Town probably started okay, I thought. I didn't think they were terrible, and it felt like they were growing into the game. And we've seen it so often, haven't we, that Town maybe don't start total guns blazing, out the blocks kind of thing, and they remain competitive more often than not. There have obviously been occasions that we've seen where they've come out and conceded early on, but they didn't. They got through that period, as Stu said to me, during the game. They've got through the kind of the sticky period in the first 15 minutes or so where they've often conceded and had to then overcome that setback. And it just felt like it's coming. They're going to start to open up some space. The passes are going to work. They're going to get there. And it never did. It never came. First time, I think, possibly all season, we could say that the only games that really come to mind. I mean, obviously, you look at the other defeats, and it's very different to the West Brom game, where I just think they were outclassed, to be perfectly honest, by a really professional team. Leeds, who were just so dangerous on the counter, but even then, Town had chances. And in this one, it just never really worked. Nothing gelled. The passes were off. The space wasn't there. It was a really peculiar performance. You had moments where Amari Hutchinson would get into pace and the ball would bounce over him. Nothing really fell for them. And part of that, you have to look down, it wasn't their day. And part of it just kind of felt like they didn't have that real fire and energy that we've seen, for example, in the Southampton game. So peculiar. I think probably in terms of the goal they conceded, let down by conceding too many fouls. And we've said this before, the Millwall game springs to mind, where they could have easily been one or two down by the free kicks they were giving away and then letting teams have that opportunity to go for goal, and it was just happening too much. You could sense that with the set pieces they were giving away, something was coming. I didn't expect it to be the one that it was, and in the end they were made to pay for it, and breaking down that particular moment in itself is quite hard, but across the whole game it's really difficult to kind of pinpoint much beyond they were really poor.
Rossi, I felt watching, obviously, I'd say the first half hour, first 20 minutes felt like a typical Derby game where it's kind of frenetic and not a lot of quality. It's kind of all a bit fast paced. But then Town had seen that out. And then I think it may have started actually with the 2 and Zebby foul, which wasn't a foul, he won the ball. That wasn't a foul. And then obviously, as AJ said, they fell into a pattern of sort of giving away free kicks, which when I got into the car, Mick Mills was absolutely fuming about, in terms of saying that the referee's lost his head. These aren't free kicks. And then clearly from one of those, it's the match winning goal. There's been a few comments about the wall or lack of wall for this free kick. And also obviously, I guess, because of the distance, people saying that Vaz should have done better. Personally, watching it back, obviously there is an issue with the wall, but I don't know that you can blame Vaz too much, because the bend on the ball is really quite something when you see it from behind. What's your take on this, Rossi?
Yeah, I did a weird thing last night and actually watched the highlights back. Don't know why I did it. I just wanted to just wanted to make it even worse. But yeah. I just wanted to just get some other insight, because I know we're going to do the podcast. And yeah, that the wall was a bit of a weird one. But yeah, that first 20, half an hour was just very cagey, very just fouls everywhere. Not really much good quality wise, It's supposed to be a Derby game. And obviously we build these up to be massive, don't we? Like, yeah, Derby, rivals, hatred. And I just felt, that first half was just dreadful. Just not good quality. Well, the whole game itself really wasn't good quality. I'm sure Sky were like, this is not great. For a neutral, sure there were... looking forward to watching this, two rivals, top of the championship doing well. And then they saw that rubbish. But the referee I think lost the game a little bit, didn't he? Just he didn't let anything sort of flow. The game just didn't flow at all. Very flat. Mm. But yeah, that goal. I will get into it, I'm sure, in a minute. But I think Vaz couldn't really do much to it. I think he did get a hand to it, though, didn't he?
He got a hand to it, yeah. But a lot of, obviously, there's been some suggestion from folks saying he should have done better. But as I say, I think my take on it anyway is that would be harsh. AJ, would you agree with that? I know it's a long distance shot and this, that, and the other, but there was extraordinary bend on that ball, which took it away from it the last minute or last second in this scenario.
Really good hit, wasn't it? To be fair, we had quite a nice view from the press box where you could almost, it was kind of just positioned behind, so you could see quite a lot of the swaz on it. There was a
swaz,
I like that word. You can go through, you can break down different bits. Should Vaz do better? I don't think so. Personally, I thought that when you look at his performance as a whole, in terms of the actual saves, I thought he was okay. Then the bit that was maybe a letdown in that sense was playing out from the back, and his distribution was not quite there for this one. Then looking at the wall, I just don't think that they were properly prepared for what was coming. Because you look at the position, I didn't actually properly realise how far out it was. Even actually when you look at the highlights, it was actually the shot map that I saw that showed how far out it is. It really is a way out, this. I was kind of thinking 25 yards maybe. So way over that, actually. And I just don't think they really expected it. And they were caught out more than anything. It's a really nice strike. And with that, I don't have a great deal of frustration with it, because sometimes you just have to say, fair enough, they've done a number on Town and that's okay. The frustrating part was the reaction, and that was what we were all expecting. We've seen Town fall behind before, often getting into halftime, getting a little bit of a rocket up the backside and a few kind of shots of the clips of where to do better, but didn't really pan out that way.
That's what I expected. I've got to say, when they got to halftime 1-0 down, I thought, all right, fair enough, not a great first half, but we know that Town are brilliant at changing things at halftime. They're fantastic at coming out and showing that resilience we've seen all season. McKenna will get into them. He'll work his magic, and they'll come out and they'll at least, you know, score one in the second half. But it just felt like they never really got going, Ross, which on such a big day, again, if you take all the emotion out of the game, yes, occasionally you're going to have games like this. But on such a big day, that's not something we've seen from Town recently. It used to be the pattern for Town that they would choke, they'd fall apart in the big games, they'd lose every single time they were under pressure. But that's not the DNA of this Town side, which made it really surprising they were so poor, to be honest.
Yeah, especially on Monday when they came from behind and scored a late winner. You know, we did like a little feature, didn't we, on the pod, saying who will be the Derby Day hero and who will be the players to step up, and sadly none of them, you know, stepped up. You know, the normal players, you know, you rely on to you know, have those magic moments weren't there, unfortunately. And I hate to say it, and probably it's just players won't be happy about this, but I felt Norwich wanted it more. You know, their players wanted it more, which is, you know, once again, we fell in love with this Town team, haven't we? All the players, Kieran McKenna, everyone part of the team. But for the first time, you know, probably ever since McKenna put this team together, this was the first time where I felt the other team wanted it more. They really, they sort of battled for every ball, Norwich. And Norwich have got a good team. They've got some good players. I'm sure Town fans won't be happy for me to say Norwich have got a good team. But in terms of this game, they were just a little bit better. And they just wanted it more. And yeah, just unfortunately, players who normally rely on just didn't step up and didn't get the win, unfortunately.
I think that the approach is an interesting one, because you feel maybe Ipswich over the recent years have kind of gone one way or the other. You can big yourself up a lot. And this is the one thing that Kieran McKenna won't do, in terms of saying it's a huge game, it's a derby, we want to end the streak, do all those kind of things. And then you've got the other side of the spectrum, which is approach it as any other game. It means a lot to the fans, and it also means a lot to us. But at the end of the day, it's 3 points, and we have to approach them the same way that we'd approach playing Hull at home or Preston away or something like that. And I get that. But also what you need within that is that little bit of spark that comes with a derby game. You need to have the blood and thunder. You need to have the intensity. And I don't necessarily know if it was about wanting it more. I just think that Town's approach was so based around their principles about what they want to do in terms of dictating the play, in terms of getting the balls out wide, in terms of being very calm, very composed. And sometimes you just need something else, something that's carried by the momentum of the day, by the hatred you have for the other team, by the fact that you've got however many, it would have been 25,000 Norwich fans around the stadium telling you all sorts of four-letter words, just to give you that extra spark. And I think that in a promotion campaign in general, the approach that Kieran McKenna and Ipswich have had in terms of keeping grounded no matter what game, it works really, really well. And it's a big part of why they've got to this position. But then in terms of getting into a derby game where all these kind of specifics in terms of approaches and in terms of form, they all go out of the window. I just think that that was potentially what they were lacking here.
Yeah, I mean, actually, Kerry Hunt, one of our columnists, North Stander, has written pretty much that this morning, saying, did that kind of the classic McKenna, calm, methodical, cool, analytical approach go against them in this kind of scenario where it's a blood and thunder, let's go to war sort of derby game? There's certainly an argument for that, you would probably say. What did you make, sticking with you, AJ, clearly going into the game, we thought we're going to not see Big Chief Keefe. And that felt like quite a big boost when the starting 11s came out, and immediately my thought was, wow, McKenna's done the old smoke and mirrors and you know, kept it under his wraps, and now Kiefer Moore, who seems suited to this sort of roughy tufty derby game, is going to give Town a bit of a an inspirational boost trotting out there, but it just didn't play out like that, didn't it? And I wonder, obviously hindsight is a wonderful thing and it's easy to be an after timer, but I just wonder if maybe it would have been better to go with Al Hamady from the start, because he looked lively, didn't he, when he came on? He had one of the better chances of the game.
Yeah, I think for starters, I totally understand why it was played out that way. Mm. Whether this is a bit of McKenna mind games, we've not seen too much of those, to be fair, or whether this was literally a late fitness check. And originally, you know, the whole feeling was it was McKenna mind games thing. But when you then see Kiefer trotting out, I just felt like his movement wasn't quite there. He looked a little bit static at times. You know, a big thing for him is that he's a big man who can get about. He's quite kind of slick and agile for someone who is an absolute giant. And that's what makes him such a threat, because he can get into those little positions and pockets a lot better than a lot of other kind of target man, tall, hold up players, and didn't work at all like that in this game. And I think that part of that is because I think Norwich probably would have had a game plan in terms of nullifying him and keeping him isolated up top. But also, I just don't think he was really in a position to start this game, and you could tell that. Again, hindsight is a wonderful thing. In hindsight, should Ali Alhamady have started? Probably. I think that he's someone that comes in, as I said last week, as a bit of a wild card. He's the one who can maybe come in as someone that defenders don't really know what to expect from. He's quite kind of, he's got a lot about him. He's quite big, physical, but he's also fast. He's a good finisher. He's raw. He's very kind of, he does exactly the opposite of what you'd expect half the time. And that's what makes him a lot of fun and really dangerous. And potentially that would have worked better in a derby game, especially as well, where do you need that X factor a little bit more in the final third? So yeah, hindsight's a wonderful thing. Would McKenna maybe look back on this and say, actually, this would have been a good game to have thrown him in for, a player who would have been absolutely up for a derby game as well, possibly. But all of us in the position that we were in when we were recording podcasts on Friday would have said, if Kiefer Moore can start, you start him 100%. So I don't think that you can really look back on it with too much kind of regret, because we were all in that position. And I think that in the hour before the game, when team news was announced, we all had that real boost that he was in the team. And I'm sure the rest of the squad did. And I'm sure that the fans in the away end did as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's laudable. Clearly, he's going to want to play. And he's a big, tough bloke. And he's not going to say, if he feels like he can play, he's not going to say, oh, well, maybe I'm only at 80% or whatever. So fair play to Kiefer for getting out there. The other debate we had on Friday's show, Rossi, was at right back, wasn't it? And Axel Tuinzebe didn't have the best game here. So again, benefit of hindsight and all that, in like, would you rather have seen Harry Clark? Was that your thinking going into them? Because clearly we know derby games, we've got Luke Wolfen doing Ipswich lad, knows what it means to the fans, was tweeting about it before the game, and Harry Clark is the other one, wears his heart on his sleeve, gives Town a lot more going forward, you'd say, on the right side. Is that something you'd have done now with the benefit of hindsight?
Yeah, hindsight's a wonderful thing. Obviously, yeah, Harry Clark would have been well up for this. Being Ipswich boy. Axel has done well, to be fair to him. He has done well when he, obviously, come back from injuries and stuff like that. But I have made that decision now, and I was speaking to a few other people. Axel is not a right back. He does look like he is a centre half playing right back. And he's done okay there. But in certain games, I just feel he doesn't bring you that attacking threat that you want from a right back in that role. Obviously, Junoy Dinashian, when he played there back in the day, he obviously had Wes Burns to overlap and stuff like that. And Harry Clark does do well going forward. Maybe his defensive side isn't as strong as, say, Axel's. But maybe Harry could have been one of those where he'll be bombing up and down, although would he have been a bit too hot-headed and maybe got a yellow card, red card early doors, maybe. I don't know. I think he would have tried to be sensible. But as you said, hindsight's a wonderful thing. If you start Harry Clark, we would have won this game. You just never know. But yeah, it's just... I was happy to see Keith Moore start, but I think maybe Ali should have been the perfect one to start. Maybe I played Ali for the first half, and if he scored and we're 1-0 up, 2-0 up, okay, then bring Keith Moore on to short defence. Because obviously, Shane Duffy and Ben Gibson probably love playing against Keith Moore because they could just bounce off him and they've played against him before. So, but yeah, hindsight, hey?
Hindsight is a wonderful gift. Shall we hear now from Sam Morsey, and then we'll carry on talking about the second half. Here's the skipper talking then. Obviously, an inspirational guy, came out, fronted up, spoke to the press afterwards, and this is what he said about the defeat.
It's bitterly disappointing. It's 3 points lost. It's losing to a rival. It's really disappointing. Quite flat. It was for both teams, really. It was quite cagey for both teams, which it's always going to be. These sort of games... sometimes you expect a phenomenal game and you don't get it, and it certainly wasn't that today. But we wasn't at our best. We needed to be better in a lot of different areas, which was disappointing. Played in other big games where, again, you can really want it. If there's a game which you'd want, it's this one against Norwich to beat your rivals. But it just didn't turn out like that, to be fair. For both teams, really, there wasn't much in the game. There wasn't many chances. They score a long-range effort. We probably have the better chances, to be honest, but... yeah, I don't think it was a great game, and we just wasn't our best today. But no, we just have to look at the whole performance and come back better, and that's what we do, really. We're not going to win every game, but how you'll be defined is how you respond. Of course, it's disappointing, isn't it? It's, there'd be a problem if it wasn't flat. It'd be a problem if you didn't have to pick people up, because you want them to feel that disappointment. Not for too long, though, but you want them to feel it and then use that as motivation.
And finally, you touched on it a second ago, but the supporters there, you went over to them at the end. You have to do that's really important, but the way that they stayed there, they made sure that they have the full backing there, must be really, really big for you.
No, brilliant. They was there in full voice, always supporting us, clapping us off at the end. We know how much it means to them, and I think they know they've got a really honest group. The goal is to perform every week. We haven't performed today. The only thing to do is put it right Wednesday.
He speaks very well, doesn't he, Morsey? A reflection of McKenna in that way. Very calm and considered. And obviously the points he makes are good, how you bounce back, et cetera, et cetera. did he get away with one, AJ, second half? We've talked about Tuenzebe. I thought that wasn't a foul. It wasn't a foul in the first half. But you could definitely argue that Morsey on Sargent, wasn't it, in the second half, was a foul.
Yeah, I'd say so.
It probably have been a yellow card as well, let's be honest.
Yeah, he was a little bit frustrated with the one that led to the goal, because I'm pretty sure, God, this game was a bit of a fever dream, that it was him who kind of grabbed Sargent a little bit by the throat. Sargent used it to go down. Morsey said, he lost his footing. Fair enough, but also you then can't be seen to have your hands around the neck of another player. And it was, in fairness, it was Sargent who was getting into those positions. Despite not scoring, first time he's not scored in a home game, he's started since August 5th. He was a real threat, and you could see it here. It was another moment where he got in behind and gets clattered by Sam Morsey, kind of just, I think it's just on the edge of the box, isn't it? So, two sides of it, yeah. Probably would have been a foul. I was really surprised it wasn't a foul. And as they kept playing on, I think Stuart started writing up that it was a free kick for Norwich. And then he looked up and was like, oh, I thought I was going to be a booking, never mind not having given it as a foul. So that was really bizarre. Did get away with one. Obviously, there is still this tightrope to go. And God, if this town were to end up in the playoffs, as we can touch upon later, they need to have him there. If he picks up two more bookings between now and the end of the season in the final five games, then he will receive a three-match ban. So it's important to keep him away from that. If it was one to go with five games, we would all be bricking it for the rest of the season, I think. Did get away with one, but potentially there might be others that he'd look back on that he'll be frustrated to get. We look back at the Middlesbrough one, for example, which in itself led to a one-match ban that he got for some words he had with the referee. And maybe in a way, a little bit like the goals, these things balance themselves out over time, but he can probably count himself a bit fortunate with that moment.
Yeah, right. We've done 25 minutes. I don't really want to talk about this anymore. Is there anything else you want to mention, Rossi? It's hard to talk about this game with any kind of enthusiasm because A, it was just a bad game. It was a bad game of football. And B, Town were bad. They didn't play well. And I don't want to sit here overanalyzing why they didn't play well because it's rare they don't play well. So we can't be too critical of a side second in the league and have their future in their hands, their destiny in their own hands with five games left, which is something we never expected. But is there anything else you want to bring up from the game? Because there's one thing that I really enjoyed about the day, which we'll get onto in due course. Anything else to mention though, Rossi? And then we'll come to AJ, see if you've got anything else.
I will admit, I think if we were still playing now, we wouldn't have scored.
He's played the klaxon. Maybe McKenna could have played that card.
Yeah. Potentially, but I just for when it got to the 80th minute, I was like, "We've lost this, boys." I'm sorry to say, I've lost this. Oh, I hate to say it, I gave up with the team. I just thought that Norwich were just defending for their lives, and we just didn't have that.
How rare is that as well, Rossi? That kind of feeling, like that's such a rare thing, isn't it, with this team?
And normally we score. This is when we score. The 75 minutes plus or after that, we go and score. But I just thought no. It's just not going to be our day, and they've done it again. They're going to beat us, and obviously they did in the end. And it just felt there was another photographer next to me who was an Ipswich fan as well, and we just looked at each other and went, "It's not going to happen, mate." And I looked around and I just saw just not Town fans just weren't happy. And I even saw a Town fan that I knew as well, and he was just like, disappointing. But bigger picture, boys, bigger picture.
Exactly. We'll come on to that in due course. I know we've got a lot of American listeners, and obviously there's a lot of American money in the team. It's what they call in America, Town laid an egg in this game. A big fat egg. AJ, anything else to mention before we get on to one particular fan I like to see?
I think the point kind of leads on from Ross's thing. The subs was maybe a little bit disappointing in a way, wasn't it? We've seen substitutes change games, and Ali had a good chance, and I thought that Jeremy Sarmiento played pretty well, but it just wasn't the same kind of impact. The other thing I do want to briefly touch on, because this is quite funny, from earlier in the day, Press Foods become a big thing here. I quite liked Norwich's rendition. We had sausages, hash browns, and beans. They did the sausages as a kind of a hot dog thing, which I quite like. This one got really controversial. People saying it looks really good, and other people saying, why has he got a hot dog with beans and hash browns? My favourite one is that I had a quote retweet from Lincoln Journalism, my old university, who picked this one out. They often go through and find former students who are like doing bits in the industry. Yeah. And they decided that this was the one that they were going to pick out for me, the first time I've ever done this. Tweeting, and talking of football, very proud to see former student Alex, now Ipswich Town FC reporter, getting unashamedly stuck in some match day hospitality. Truly the spirit of journalism. which is proud, it's really, really proud moment for me to be recognised by my former university for taking photos of hot dogs at Carrow Road.
Alumni. AJ, just tell me how that works then, because I'm immediately thinking the practicalities, logistics of eating a hot dog, which you've laid on beans. Surely you didn't use a knife and fork to eat a hot dog, did you? So did you have bean juice laden fingers?
No, nothing touched. I made sure to keep, or at least I think.
There was a barrier, was there?
No. I tried to, well, not really a barrier, but I tried to make sure that the hot dog was kind of kept aside. It wasn't really a hot dog. I feel like there's sometimes a difference between a hot dog and a sausage in a bun or a sausage in a roll. There's kind of like a very different kind of vibe to it. So it was almost like I had the hot dog and then I moved on to have the sausage and not the sausage, the hash browns and the beans afterwards. So overall, it felt like a rogue pick. I had some messages saying,
I really like this, but it is rogue, dangerous, uncalled for. But I can't lie. It's painful to say about Norwich. It was pretty good. Oh, have we all gone silent?
Okay. Oh, you're frozen, boys. Are we back?
Oh, hello?
What happened there?
Can we all hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Who cut out?
Wave. There we go. We're all back. That's good, isn't it? This is going well. It kind of fits the mood.
Cut.
Yeah, cut. Should we just bin it? Actually, should we can the whole podcast? Let's just never do another podcast.
Yeah.
Is a hot dog a sandwich, AJ?
No.
Why not? It's meat in bread.
I don't know. I need time to research this.
There we go. We ask the big questions here.
Rossi, let us know in the comments, guys.
Is a hot dog a sandwich, Rossi?
No.
Why?
Because there's no butter. There's no.
What? So a sandwich is defined by butter.
I think so.
Is it?
And it's in a roll.
Yeah.
Sandwich is a bread.
So a sandwich has to be bread, does it?
I think so.
Interesting.
Okay. Google's verdict is a hot dog is a sandwich because the definition of a sandwich is two or more slices of bread or a split roll having filling in between.
There we go, you see.
There's no filling, though. Where's the filling?
Well, surely the hot dog is the filling.
Sausage.
Oh, yeah. But I was thinking that's not my bad. Move on.
Let's move on anyway. We'll come back to that maybe on another day. Let us know what you think about that burning question. One final thing I want to mention from the game is the one highlight for me was one particular fan who had a bloody, ruddy, bloody good day, regardless of the result. And that's this guy right here. Here he is, look. Big Fabio Wardley, who actually delayed his holiday post-fight from the Fraser Clark Classic, so he could go to this game, and he made sure that he had a bloody good time. And also, Ross, you just pointed out next to him there, on his just over his left shoulder, is former Town player Bailey Clements, isn't it? Who's just been promoted with Chesterfield. And he's actually wearing. We're speculating whether or not he's actually wearing his Ipswich Town shirt because clearly he played for Town. He's got the magical Vegas shirt on, Rossi. good to see.
Yeah, it's good to see. There's a few former players in the away end, but yeah. You know, when you spoke to Fab, he mentioned he has got on the away ticket for Carrow Road. And yeah, he did the whole shebang. You know, he got on the train with all the Town fans as well, was in the concourse. And obviously, Fabio Wardley chants were getting rung out. And obviously, he's probably a half cut there. But obviously, he just had a massive fight last weekend. So he deserves that. But
fair play to him, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it's good to see. And he got amongst it.
He deserves to let his hair down a little bit and have a few drinks and enjoy himself. And I shared
it. Well,
you know what I mean. I shared an excellent interview, if you've not seen it, on from BBC Suffolk, where they're interviewing, I think, after the game. And Fabio's clearly a little worse for wear, but trying to be professional and give his kind of... It's one of, you know, when you're drunk and you're trying to act as if you're sober. It's one of those. So go back and watch that if you've not seen it. It's worth watching. And by all accounts, people have contacted me on Twitter and said that he had a box of Stella under his arm at the station. So he was clearly well up for it and taking pictures of everyone, having a good day. So good to see, Fab. Excellent to see indeed. I'm sorry. However, of course, the game didn't turn out how we wanted it to do. Anything else to mention, friends, before we draw a line under this and talk about the next game, which, of course, we're going to try and build things up now, bring it up again. We're taking it down, bring it up again now towards the fact that Town actually are still very much in with a shout of getting to the Premier League and they play Watford on Wednesday. Should we talk about that now?
Please.
Excellent. Right. Watford on Wednesday, the Glory Hornet boys at Portman Road, back to back Portman Road games now. Watford, then Middlesbrough. Watford, AJ, a side very much in mid table, not really a lot to play for. You look at their last three results, all draws, but they have drawn against the likes of West Brom and Leeds, interestingly. So not a side that you'd expect to be a pushover. How are you feeling about this one?
I think it's an interesting game to try to bounce back from, and we talk about the resilience and bouncing back a lot. It's totally different bouncing back from a defeat at Preston and a defeat like this against Norwich. So that is one side of it. And Watford have shown a big improvement because by and large, they have been pretty poor this season. They showed good signs maybe in the first half. And actually it was around the time that Town beat them at Vicarage Road that things started to spiral a little bit.
they have not won, albeit I know they're away in this game, they've not won a home game, I think, in 6 months. I don't think they've won at Vicarage Road since November.
Wow.
Which proved to be the end for Valerian Ismail, a manager I think is really good, but came into an environment that didn't suit him. And he's a manager that has very specific ideas of how he wants his teams to play, and he's had a lot of success with that. And for whether that was he had to or he decided to, went totally away with that at Watford, and it just proved to be the end of his time there. So it looks like they're going to ride out the season with Tom Cleverley, which is interesting. I keep laughing when I mention it to Stu because it just seems baffling. I remember this guy playing very, very recently, and he feels like he should still be playing. I just have ideas of him playing in the Championship at the moment. So with him actually managing this team and then taking them to Portman Road feels a little bit bizarre. Obviously, someone who's played a lot of games for Manchester United, I don't think that they did cross paths in terms of Kieran McKenna and Tom Cleverley. I think that they left, I think he left Man United as McKenna came in almost, so not one that they'll be familiar with. And actually, the fun thing that I picked out from having a look at the run-in is that really Ipswich Town's fate, okay, looking away from Watford a little bit, is going to be decided by former Manchester United players here in Tom Cleverley on Wednesday, in Michael Carrick with Middlesbrough, and Mark Robbins
at
Coventry City. So three former Manchester United players can play a very big part in the season of a former Manchester United assistant. And it's going to start with what looks like a slightly trickier game on paper against Watford, against a side that has shown real improvement, albeit not fantastic results under Cleverley in the last few weeks.
Rossi, I guess if you could construct an ideal scenario, having lost the derby away from home with five games left to get to the Premier League, you would then want, I guess, back-to-back home games, wouldn't you? That seems to be like a good way to bounce back from such a deflating defeat.
Yeah, definitely. And also for the travelling purposes as well, it's nice just to know we've got Portman Road. I want to quickly go back, actually, not to the Norwich game. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen, we'll go back to that. But obviously, we had the Easter weekend, which I'm sure was a tough one for the players and McKenna, because Blackburn, tough game, long way to go. And then Monday, the emotion, that game as a whole, I'm sure that took out a lot of the players. And obviously, they only had a few games to sort of, or a few days to sort of recover. And then obviously, there was illness in the camp. Of course, I think Norwich had the similar in terms of they had a, you know, injuries and illness as well. So you can't use that as an excuse, but I'm sure that just wiped out the team a lot going into this game. And obviously, this was the Norwich game was the emotional game as well, because it was a derby and everything like that. But yeah, nice that we have now back to back home games against two tough teams. You know, they haven't really got much to play for, really. Watford, they're just going to finish the season mid-table pretty much. But I'm sure they'll still be up for it. Obviously, there'll be a lot of players, and Tom Cleverley will want to show that, give me the job if you fancy Watford, you know, I'll try, you know, if I can do well, give me the job. But yeah, perfect time. And obviously, it's Wednesday, so it's you know, another a day to sort of recover. But then, of course, then you've got Borough, you know, there's only the quick turnaround for the Borough game. But thankfully, both games at Portland Road and Town team can bounce back from the game against Norwich.
Yeah, I mean, Rossi touched on a point there, which is the kind of the talking point I want to put before we get to predictions and stuff for this game, AJ, is McKenna himself said after the game, maybe our batteries were drained a little bit. You know, clearly that Easter period, as Ross said, was demanding, took a lot out of them emotionally. And then they've got the emotion of the derby as well. People carried injuries. We know, clearly, obviously, Kiefer Moore, Al-Hamady. We've got Wes Burns out injured. George Hurst, is he coming back? Is he not? So we've got all those injuries as well. A bit of illness in the camp. In terms of the batteries being drained, we talked before the Norwich game about potential changes. You mentioned Massimo Luongo and potentially Jack Taylor coming in for him. Is there any kind of things that stand out for you going into this Watford game where you go, right, this is really now a chance to refresh and rest some people and get some new people, new kind of blood into the team, as it were?
There's quite a few, I'd say. Yeah. I'll have something up on this, I think, tomorrow morning. I'm going to look at what changes we could see in the team, so go have a look at that one when it's out. It's hard because when you go and you make changes for a game, there can be that idea that you're taking one more seriously than the other. And does it look like you're then prioritising the Middlesbrough game because they look like a better team, they're going for the playoffs? It can come across that way. I think that with how things are at the moment, it makes a lot of sense, just not in terms of the opposition. I think that really whoever it was pretty much you'd want to go and make changes because they have put so much in, as Ross said, to the last three games. And albeit they had a few days between Southampton and Norwich, they must have been shattered. And there's been this illness that we've spoken about, been injuries, all sorts. So in terms of ones that stand out, touch upon Harry Clark coming in on the right, might be time to give him another start. Jack Taylor coming in for Massimo Luongo. Luongo's looked pretty leggy. I think he struggled at Carrow Road. He didn't find it too easy in the Southampton game either. Broadhead, I thought, was excellent off the bench against Southampton, but didn't show pretty much anything against Norwich, to be perfectly honest. Do you then look at having someone like Jeremy Sarmiento or Marcus Harness, both of whom I thought did pretty well off the bench against Norwich? Ali Alhamadi, is this a chance now for him to get his first start? There are definitely things that you could work with. It probably becomes a little bit trickier than when you look at someone like Leif Davis, who could really do with a break, I'd say, given the fact that he's been pretty ill. He's had breathing difficulties in games, but it's hard to bring him out. Who do you have come in? Probably Humphreys, but the options there aren't quite as good. So it's about trying to make sure that it's a competitive squad that has changes in it. I wouldn't necessarily say it's one where you'd expect maybe to have five or six or something like that, but there is the potential to do that, and there is the potential, hopefully, at that point, even if you're asking players to go again, that you can then get into a position, hopefully in this game, where you can start making those changes around the hour mark, make sure that players are rested up, because there isn't a huge turnaround to go, and there'll definitely be some who could do with the break. Kiefer Moore, maybe even Connor Chaplin, Massimo Luongo for sure. Twan Zebe's played a string of games for the first time in God knows how long. Definitely a few who I'd say could do with a bit of a breather.
Is there anything you'd be looking to change, Rossi? I mean, fair to say that the entire front four on Saturday flattered to deceive. None of them really shone. We know Amari Hutchinson, clearly not too long ago, we were calling him Star Boy and all this kind of stuff. And, coming in for Wes Burns, he's maybe not hit the heights he had been doing. Is there any kind of obvious ones that you'd be looking to change?
Yeah, it's probably a good idea to shake up a little bit, you know, bring some fresh faces on. Jack Taylor, you know, Sarmiento. Although Sarmiento, we've said before, we not really liked him as a starter. But, you know, when you got players who may be absolutely knackered, like Amari, he's probably just knackered, you know, from the last few games. Because, yeah, he played the full 90 against Southampton, didn't he? And then, did he? AJ, that check? Did he play full 90? Putting a spot here. If he did, then he's, I think he did. I think he did. But yeah, so I think just maybe freshen up that forward front line, and then, maybe bring Harry Clark in. But one positive from the Norwich game, I think Cameron Burgess, I think we gave him the man of the match. I think he out of everyone, he made his 100th appearance. I think the club just tweeted 100th appearance in that game. Obviously, he probably wished for a better result for his 100th game. But I thought out of the 11 starting, he probably was the best player on the pitch for us anyway. Maybe just freshen up a little bit. And obviously, we've got Middlesbrough on Saturday, so it's good to freshen up for both games. So maybe more of the attacking players potentially, and Harry Clark at right back.
Right then, Alex, lift us before we do, if indeed we are going to do predictions, that'll be Ross's call. Lift us though, Alex, because as I said before, take out all the emotion, the draining nature of the defeat on Saturday. Town are actually still in just the same position as they were, pretty much. Yes, they're not top anymore, but their destiny is still in their hands. They have five games left. And if they win all of those, they're in the Premier League. It's that simple, AJ. So how do you see now the run-in? Because a lot of this show has been about being a bit deflated, but we should actually still be pretty excited about the situation that Town find themselves in, should we not?
Yeah, let's get the one big negative out quickly. Leicester won on Saturday, so that means that they now go top and they have that game in hand, so it puts them into a good position. Still don't think their performances have been wonderful, and they've got a few tricky ones coming up. I know they've got to play West Brom, they've still got to play Southampton, of course, that is the game in hand, so there's bits there. In terms of the promotion race as a whole, one thing that stood out to me that was quite interesting was going into the weekend, it was a case where Leicester thought they were doomed. We'd just seen them booed off at Bristol City a week before. Their fans have been pretty negative despite beating Norwich. And then it was Leeds fans and Town fans who were sat there thinking, right, this is it now. We can really ramp home a top two finish. And literally one afternoon has seen Leicester fans saying, right, we're going to win the league again now. Yeah. Town fans who were preparing for Norwich in the playoffs, and Leeds, who I've seen their fans saying, right, another season in the Championship. So it's all just changed in the space of a few days. What that means is that I think there's a lot more twists and turns to come, and it is ridiculously hard to predict. We could see Leeds, who looked absolutely fantastic, they could fall apart. We could see Town go on an unbeaten run. We could see Town struggle. We could see Leicester really pick up like they were earlier in the season. There's a lot that can still happen. There's still, 15 points left to play for? These are all teams who can end up in around 100. It is one of those positions where you keep looking at these teams, and possibly also with the games that they've got, especially looking at midweek. Leicester have got to go to Millwall, who've been pretty terrible, and Leeds are at home to Sunderland, who've also been pretty poor. So it's one of those where you look at it and you think, oh, then you've got to win again. And if you don't win that, then they're going to start to open up a gap and it could all fall apart. But you can't take anything really for granted here. And that's why, yeah, there's a lot of negative feelings, but there's no real reason to have that. They're still in the same position as we touched upon. If they go and win all those games, they're going to be in the Premier League. They're probably not going to win all the games, and Leicester aren't going to win all their games, and Leeds probably aren't going to win all their games as well. So, like the squad, what maybe shouldn't have done over the weekend, but over the course of the season, it's important to try not to get too high and too low. But especially, there's no reason, I'd say, to be absolutely gutted with the position that they're now in going into the final five games, because everything's still in their hands and we know that this team is capable of going on a run.
Do you know what I think is going to be a really interesting kind of X-factor scenario is this unexpected enforced international break weekend they've got. That I think that could be massive one way or the other, because clearly Town aren't going to play, so they have the opportunity to rest players and get, you know, fully fit. But then also that you've got the potential psychological blow of the sides playing and then going above them, and then the pressure's back on them to get the points. And then clearly they've got a huge final week of the season with three games. We haven't really talked a lot about that, but I think that could be huge, AJ.
It helps them know what they need to do at the end of the day, giving them this extra week, and we'll see what the plans are in terms of whether they'll take it to have a bit of a factory reset. It will be important maybe to get a couple of players back. You know, does this extra breather now mean that someone like George Hurst or someone like Wes Burns could be fit to play a part in the final three games of the season rather than the final two? They're really hard games. Hull will be going to the playoffs still at that point. Absolutely, as will Coventry. Coventry have just beaten Leeds over the weekend. Huddersfield on the final day look like they'll be tough. But I think it gives them just that little bit of time as well to step away from the promotion race. At the moment, I'd see it as more of a positive. All these teams around them are going to have to be absolutely laser-focused between now and the end of the season. They don't have a chance to step out of it. All their focus is going to be on winning games, picking up points, and they're going to have to deal with the highs and lows of it throughout that time. They're going to have to look at other teams and how they're doing. They're going to have to focus on their performance. If their performance and their results are bad, they'll be absolutely gutted, and everything between now and the end of the campaign is going to be focused on that, whereas Ipswich know that they can have a couple of good results and then they'll have 2 weeks to build on it, or potentially it might not go their way. They might drop points and they'll have more time to just get to grips with that a little bit. And that, I think, does play into their hands, whether it does on the pitch in terms of staying fresh, things like that, remains to be seen. But I think there's definite arguments for it to be seen as a positive thing.
Right then, Rossi, need your ruling. Clearly, none of us got any points over the weekend because we all either said draw or win. Do you want us to do predictions now for this Watford game?
Yeah, why not? Why not? Let's be positive and we're all going to predict wins, surely.
Yeah, I'm going to go first. I'm going to say 2-0 Town. I'm going to say, it's hard to know though, isn't it, who's going to play? So I'm going to say, is he going to play? I'll go Connor Chaplin. But can we set this ruling now, Rossi? If Connor Chaplin, for whatever reason, is rested, do I get to pick again the first goal scorer? So if he's not in the squad, I get to choose again before the kickoff, yeah? Mm-hmm. But if he is on the bench, clearly, you know, that bet's still alive. So I'll go Chaplin 2-0. What are you saying, AJ, as you're still leading the way?
I'm going to go... Oh, did I risk it? I've still got a little bit of a gap and the games are running out. So maybe I'll go for a little bit of a braver one. I'm going to go Ali Alhamadi.
Oh, yes.
First. And I'm going to go for Ipswich Town to win this game.
7-0.
Yeah, 7-0. I'm torn between two here. I'll take a more cautious approach. I'll go 2-1 for this one.
I think every single week, we at least someone has a 2-1. That's got to be the most popular pick for everyone this season. So clearly, Ross, by your reaction there, you are also going to go for 2-1. What are you going to go for? Are you going to stick with that? Because you need to make up ground on the boy.
Yeah. It's going to be a goal fest again, isn't it? Surely. I don't know.
Why did you let me go ahead of Ross? Surely Ross should have gone first.
Well, because you're obviously leading the way. So I wanted to give Ross the chance to...
All right,
maybe enough. I've got that wrong. I apologize, Ross.
That's fine. I knew it as well. I was like, he's gonna say it because like, 2-1 is the easy
that's the
one.
Pick. Yeah,
I'm just gonna quickly look at Watford. I think Watford's they can score goals, can't they?
They've done so more under Tom Cleverley for sure. That their output's better, they're defensively better. I think they've gone to a 5 occasionally. Just players who probably know that they're a little bit on the beach and can play with a bit of freedom now as well. Not going to go up, not going to go down.
3-2.
Ooh, like it.
Ooh.
No, actually, 3-1. Let's take away the one goal for Watford. Sorry, Watford. Okay. I apologise to them.
They'll be devastated.
All the players will be on the coach listening to this podcast and going to go, ah.
Yeah, it's no point going now. 3-1, who's going to score first, Rossi?
Let's do... a goal for, yeah, Sam Orsi. Come on, Sammy. I wanted you to score at Caro, but you didn't. But yeah, you'll score the first goal to start this win off.
Scored in the last one as well. The last time they went,
completely forgot about that.
Watford scored the winner.
Yeah.
There you go.
Let's hope so. Right then, so we've got 2-0, Chaplin. 2-1, Alhamadi. 3-1, Sam Orsi. Is the pick, and obviously we'll try and get hold of Watson wherever he is, sat in a darkened room crying his eyes out somewhere. I think that's what you do on half term, isn't it, if you're a parent. Right, friends, anything else to mention? I've got another question for you boys. Is a burger a sandwich?
By the logic of Google, yeah.
Is a calzone a sandwich?
No.
Why?
Oh, you've offended someone here.
It's not bread, is it?
It has to be. Well, it's a dough. It's not bread. These are the big questions we need answers to. And this is a fitting way to end what's been quite a deflating podcast, because I'm probably going to have a big sandwich now to cheer myself up. The other thing to mention, friends, we are aware, obviously, people have contacted us on Twitter over the weekend, sent emails about Town giving out freebies to potential staff. We don't know if that's true. That's allegedly at the moment. Our news team are looking at that. So hopefully we'll get an update on that in due course. So there's not really a lot we can say about that. Anything else to mention, friends, before we take our leave?
Another game that we've had never to mention ever again. I think I've said that maybe two or three times this season, which is good, given the fact that I've not said it too much. But this is going firmly in the Maidstone United bracket, I think.
Shit, I've completely forgotten about that game if you mentioned it.
And there you go.
There we go. Rossi, anything else from you, my friend?
Tratley Girls won on Sunday. So that was good. When I turned up, every time I saw anybody who I, you know, sort of knew and who, of course, are Town fans, we're not talking about Saturday or, you know, yesterday, because everyone agreed. We went, no, let's not talk about it. But then you do like bring up a little bits and bobs, because it just comes up, doesn't it? It just flashes in your mind. You're like, bloody hell, yeah, we lost, didn't we? But no, Tratley Girls won. Natasha Thomas scoring the goal to beat Milton Keynes, 1-0. 149 goals she's now scored. So she's one off that 150 mark. So I'm sure she should hit that in the final three games. But yeah, that was just a nice little good thing that happened on the weekend. At least one team.
Some positives to take, absolutely. Yeah. Friends, just a reminder then, support our sponsor, use the code KOA at manscaped.com for 20% off and free delivery, all that excellent clobber they've got, especially going in now into the spring/summer, when I'm sure you're going to be out and about. Get your various bits trimmed up. I don't want to dwell too much on that, but definitely use the code KOA at manscaped.com for 20% off and free delivery. And also, friends, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, because that helps lift our visibility in the charts and helps more people discover us. How are we getting on the old TikToks there, AJ?
we are ticking and talking along quite nicely.
Excellent. So go and follow us on there if you're cool and young. If you're not cool and young, you still use Facebook like granddads. Follow us on there as well. There's also Twitter and there's also Instagram. You can follow us across all of those. Friends, right then. It's been quite a tough show today. So if you got to the end of it, well done. But let's try and finish on a high, shall we? Ipswich Town, despite what happened on Saturday, still have their destiny in their hands. With five games to go, Ipswich Town could win their way into the Premier League. And they start that mission on Wednesday against Watford. AJ will be there, Rossi will be there, follow it with them. And hopefully, friends, when we next talk to you, things will be much more positive and we can look towards a glorious end to the season. Right, podcast in the books. Have a great start to your week and we'll speak to you next time.